My name is Trish Ware, and I am obsessed with all things pregnancy and birth, and helping you to navigate both the practical and the magical seasons of this journey called motherhood. I'm an all-day coffee-sipping mama of seven. I've had the amazing privilege of delivering many babies in my 15-plus year career as a labor and delivery nurse and as a mama of seven. I'm here to help you take the guesswork out of childbirth so you can make the choices that are right for you and your baby. Quick note, this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not replace your medical advice. Check out our full disclaimer at the bottom of the show notes.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Today is going to be so much fun. My guest today is Mama Nurse Tina. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
So excited. I have been seeing her on Instagram for the last year or two. And I think, how long has it been?
You know what? I've only been on the gram for probably a year.
Okay.
You may have seen me on TikTok if you're there. Mm-hmm. Actually, you may not have because that algorithm is messed up. So
yeah. I think it was YouTube. So when did you start your YouTube channel?
October 22.
Okay.
No, 22, something like that. It's just been over like a year and 6 months, maybe.
So it's probably like in the last year that I started seeing you looking. Yeah. We were looking at YouTube, trying to branch into there, but like
it's a beast.
Tina and I were talking, this is no joke, creating this level of content. It is a full-time job.
Yes. If you're looking into social media, it's amazing, but also it's a beast. Like it's full-time plus.
And what's so funny, so Tina and I were talking beforehand because we have so much in common, but I was telling her that I coach content creators now. And I didn't say this to you, but like on that account where I'm coaching, I'm seeing all this, there's this new trend of all these people talking about how you can build your Instagram in 15 minutes a day.
Oh, I should hook myself up with that program because it certainly takes me longer than 15 minutes.
The thing about it is that I'm dying laughing because most of those people are teaching other people how to just teach people how to make money, not to have impact. Oh, okay. Like we do.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
And
no, it's like a whole community thing. Like it's not just put the stuff out and then mm-hmm. let it ride.
Yeah.
You really gotta, you gotta be out there and behind your work, right?
Yes. And I also, in my coaching group, I don't take people who are just like lifestyle influencers, not that I'm knocking them, but people who are more educators like we are. And that takes a lot of work because you have to make sure what you're putting out there is accurate.
A lot of us do make sure what we're putting out there is accurate.
Yeah.
Some people, not so much,
yeah.
But hopefully people who are in an educational role are doing yes. their background checks and their due diligence.
Yes. And it's such a raw topic, what we talk about, like we were saying. Mm-hmm. So Tina and I were talking beforehand about, so we're going to talk about birth trauma today from our perspective and some of the things that we feel can prevent that. So I'd love to just, let's talk about how you got into labor and delivery.
Mm-hmm. I worked emergency nursing first, but I would anytime. Okay. Any emergency nurses that are listening are going to be like, I hate when people come in having a baby, like they hate it. They don't want anything to do with it. But I always ran to the births. I didn't care where I was. As long as my patient wasn't coding, I was going to be in there. And so I was like, why am I not doing this? This is what I want to do. So I finally got into it in 2012. I did a bunch of other stuff. I did some travel nursing, some ICU nursing. I was like, that is definitely not for me. And then, yeah. So then in 2012, I came into it and I just love it.
So travel nursing or ICU nursing wasn't for you?
I did.
Which one wasn't for you?
But ICU 100% was not for me. That is a hard bag. Oh my gosh.
I don't like sick stuff. Ooh, I don't like sick people.
It is physically demanding work. Yeah. My goodness. Travel nursing was cool, but I'm like such a home, like my family is so important to me that I was just super homesick. I just ate my feelings away. And
yeah.
And
nice.
So so it was cool, but I just missed home.
I don't know if you know my story, but I have seven children.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I thought four was a lot.
There's, okay, there's the right. shock value. And
we've got a whole soccer team happening.
They're mostly adults now. I only have two at home. So I started very young and ended very old.
Yeah.
My last one I had at 42 and I was working on a travel assignment in California. My ex-husband came to visit me and left behind something mm-hmm. a little special.
Oh, perfect. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, he is. He is the best gift. He's something else, that kid. But anyway, mm-hmm. I was travel nurse the majority of my career. And that is how I learned that it is not a cookie cutter thing, birth, like we were saying. And that's how I learned that. I was like really shocked that women in the West Coast could eat without dying during labor, while in the East Coast, it was death.
They're breaking the mold from the 1940s.
Yeah.
The literature from the 1940s about eating and drinking in labor.
It was so shocking. And then I was telling my students the other day that I remember getting in trouble at one travel assignment I just started, and I started an IV on a labor patient, and they asked me why. What was going on that she needed it. Yeah. And I was like, she's in labor. And they were like,
and
I don't know about in Canada, but in the US, 99% of the time, that's part of the admission orders.
Yeah. Yeah. We do a lot of IVs as well.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I love everyone choosing for themselves, but personally, an IV is something that I would never skip in my birth. I just a little Heplock. I don't need a long cord. I'll drink my juice.
That's what I tell my students as well. If they're open, if they're not, fine. As an emergency nurse, we can get one in on a dime. But I do tell my girls too, because I personally, although I've had 6 unmedicated births, I don't like needles. And I don't want anyone messing with me in an emergency. I would rather it be there and settled.
That's right. Even the best nurse, it's going to take a little bit to get it in there, especially if your blood pressure's in your boots.
And the best nurse might be busy.
That's
during an emergency. Whereas if it's calm, the best nurse probably can come in and do it for you.
And then the patient will be like, get the doctor to do it. And you're like,
No, you don't. Maybe the anesthesiologist. So I do tell that. But this one, I actually got reprimanded. And I was like,
oopsies. So sorry.
But it was the best hospital ever. But that's really what led me into, because I would sit in my car crying, especially when I was back home, because the East Coast is just, it's bad. In 2018, the hospital I was working at, they were still taking the baby for 2 hours to the nursery.
That would be a hard pass for me.
I know.
No, thank you.
I know. Like, I couldn't believe it, because I hadn't seen that in many years. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's Tennessee for you.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's so different. And you're in Canada, so there's definitely some differences. So I would love to chat with you and talk to these moms about, they all know what I think and some of my recommendations, but what do you think are some of the biggest power moves for a mom? Obviously, we can't prevent birth trauma all the way. Like, you just can't. But I think there's certain types of birth trauma we can prevent, like leaving your birth feeling like you weren't a part of it.
Yeah, or feeling like you were completely in the dark. And I think a lot of people think that birth trauma is like something catastrophic happened, like something terrible happened to the baby, something terrible happened to mom. But I think probably in the majority, obviously those would leave anybody with trauma from their birth. But I think for a lot of people, it can be something so small that they weren't expecting, or like they didn't feel like they were part of the experience, even though it ended in a C-section or whatever it may be. If they had just felt like they were part of that decision, that could have changed the outcome for them in the long run and how they view their birth and how they view future births, right? Because we have to remember that, like, birth trauma, like, just it just floods into the next experience, right? Because even though births are so different, they just assume it's going to be the same way, and it doesn't have to be the same way. And so I think the biggest power move that anybody can make is to amplify their own voice, right? Like, be aware that you can say things to people like, I want to know what's happening, or what is happening, or I don't feel comfortable with this. Yes. And I think even like when I first sit down with patients and I meet them, I tell them the things that I'm going to do for them. I ask them the things that they want me to do for them. But I always say to them, if things are going to hit the fan, first of all, I'm going to try to tell you if my spidey senses are tingling before it does, because nothing is worse than the surprise. 10 people flood into the room and we're like ripping you apart and we're flipping you over and it's, what is happening? But on the same time, I really think that if you know that as a nurse, I'm going to be there for you if that happens, and you can count on me to be at your head of your bed, talking to you, explaining to you what's happening, then that can go a long way as a healthcare provider. So I think that people need to know that they have a voice and they should use it, and they should make it known sooner than later that they want to be involved and they want to know what's happening, good or bad. I don't know if people just think because it's a scary thing that's happening that people don't want to know what's happening. And
knowledge is always power, no matter what.
It doesn't make sense to me why any provider would think that, or a nurse would think that they just don't want to know what's happening.
It happens so often. And I love a couple of things you said. And we talked about my birth classes and some of the things that make it unique. But another thing that I have in both of the birth classes is a debrief your birth module. And with the VBAC lab, we start with that. And that's why I added it into Calm Labor, because in nursing school, we are taught that it's catastrophic events. That's what birth trauma is for us at, from the medical side. But with these VBAC moms, I realized that they have a let's just say you were 34 weeks, you go in and you find out you're going to have a scheduled cesarean, and all of these things that you planned and hoped for are gone in your mind. So in the VBAC lab, we started working through these triggers, because these girls would start having panic attacks at 34 weeks when they're going to that appointment. And so we started working through that. We started working through how it feels for someone to say, at least you and baby are healthy.
I did a whole reel on this because I'm just like, wow, my birth trauma is magically cured because
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And my baby's alive. Oh, perfect. There's more to it than a healthy mom, healthy baby.
Yeah. And it's such a horrible thing to say to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not all that birth is. And I think that I really honestly think that comes from women more than anyone else, other women saying that.
I would agree with you. I think it's, and maybe it comes from healthcare workers or people in your life not knowing what to say, right? I don't know. Yeah. Or people like, at least you could have a baby.
So I have a whole train of thought. I think that it comes from other traumatized women who had their feelings suppressed. And it's just a line of women throughout the time that had their feelings invalidated. And so they just continue to do it. And I think it's going to take a huge change for us to change this for our own daughters.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's like birth trauma is so prevalent. I read somewhere it's like up to 50% of people experience birth trauma. And we know that 50% of people are not losing their babies in childbirth. 50% of people are not dying in childbirth. So we know that there is something more happening beyond the catastrophic events that you think about that's causing birth trauma. And my biggest thing is that I think it comes down to communication. If we could focus on communicating with our patients, that would, I think, really flip the script for a lot of people moving out of their birth. And I saw this I had a patient who was laboring. She had no epidural. She was doing incredible things. She was changing positions. She had this beautiful village of empowering female family members with her. And it was a beautiful room. As soon as I came on, things started to go downhill. The baby was not doing well. It was very evident that the baby needed to come out quickly. And the provider that came on was a female provider. And she, even a lot of providers would have just been like, okay, we're going for a C-section. Like, we got to get this baby out right now. She like sat on the bed, put her hand on the lady's back, said, I know that this is not what you want. I'm letting you know that I'm concerned about your baby, but I need you to understand that we believe that a C-section is best right now, but we can't force you into a C-section. And I want you to have a say in what's going to happen with the birth of your baby. And she ended up in a C-section very quickly. I went and visited her postpartum. And everybody in the whole room and her, they were so thankful. But you know that if that had gone differently, there's a chance that she would have been super traumatized by the experience, because she wanted this birth that was completely natural, medication-free. She was doing everything she could have done. And she probably would have felt a lot differently about it if she hadn't felt like she was part of that decision. And that conversation probably took maybe 12, 15 seconds longer than it would have to come blowing in the room and be like, we're having a C-section, and pulling the blankets off. And that's all it took. And in the scheme of things, like, that 15 seconds mattered to her. Like, that 15 seconds was important in how she's going to do lifelong and with further babies. That was her first baby. So that's setting her up for success as a parent, less postpartum depression. It's setting her up for a more positive birthing experience next time. We have to think about these things because they matter.
No, this could be a whole an entire podcast episode on what providers say that traumatize. And I have had such a weird last 4 years because, like I said, we do weekly coaching with our students. So I spend time with them more than I've ever in my career because, you know, we have 2 hours after birth and then we go see them maybe the next day and that's that. And now we have the virtual membership, which we have a weekly postpartum hangout. So I've never spent so much time with my postpartum mamas. And I mainly did that because I love these girls so much. I don't want to see them go. But the things that I have heard that providers have said, and then I have to really go back and check myself and think, have I said anything callous like this? But, and that's just a whole nother episode, but I do agree with you. And like I was telling you before, part of the framework in my classes is, yes, we have to not give them knowledge. They have to understand these are what interventions, these are powerful. Thank God we have them. Thank God we have a cesarean. Thank God we have vacuums. Yeah. But when are they necessary and when is it out of convenience? We have to learn that. And then a huge portion of my course is mindset because I'm life in general. You can't, how do you function without a good mindset? And then the other part is being bold to speak up because it takes a lot of courage on their part, a lot of courage.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people probably just think, oh, if I speak up, then I'm being a nasty,
I'm being that person.
Yeah, but like, I'm being that patient. Yes. But like, there are ways for you to advocate for yourself and speak up without being that person, just simply being a part of your birth. And I think that is something that we really need to talk more about. And with not just with patients, but with healthcare providers and nurses, because I hope that we're going to start seeing more people speaking up for themselves in these situations because I want to see a culture change so badly. I think it's going to take a huge amount of time, but I hope that we start to see more of these patients coming in. And so I think not only do we need to talk to patients about how to approach your healthcare workers, we also need to talk to healthcare workers and be like, people are going to approach
you. Here's how you receive it.
Yes. Here is how they are not attacking you. They are not attacking what you're doing. They're simply trying to be an involved member in their birth experience. And that is their right. They get X number of them in their lifetime.
And that's what we should want.
Yes. Like some people get one go at it, right?
If yeah. You know. Yeah.
So I think, how to receive and how to give it would be a really good thing. And you know what? I always say, start kind, but firm. That's what I tell people. Be kind, but be firm. Be like, I'm in the ring here. Like, this is my battle too. And then I said, you can always progress it to not a kind, firm approach. But if you start kind and firm, there's zero reason why that healthcare worker should take that in any sort of a negative light, right? No one's attacking what you're doing. They're simply using the knowledge that they have been gathering for 40 or 41 or 42 weeks and putting it into action to see what they want through, to see it come to fruition. And that's important.
It's hugely important that I have a whole section that I teach on this and what I tell them to say. So here's where I approach it. I try to remind them that we're people. You have 4 children. I have 7. I was married to a sociopath. So going to work, I am an amazing labor nurse. Like I am a birth nerd. I went to school to be a labor nurse. I did not want to do anything else. And I love my job. I love my patients. But there were times that I came so burdened by life that it creeped in. I tell my girls that if they feel like their nurse is not supporting them or being condescending or whatever, to approach it like this. So I tell them to say, hey, I am so grateful that you're here today. And I'm so like, the job you do is incredible, but I feel like we might not be connecting. And maybe you don't, you know, maybe you see birth differently, but this is my only birth with this baby. And I want it to be this way. So if you don't mind, if you would maybe ask your charge nurse if she could give me a nurse who's more about blah, blah, blah. And this is what I tell them will happen. Either they're going to have a nurse like me that brought their life shit in, who's going to start weeping because she's mortified that she's made someone feel that way. And then she may ask for another chance and you may bond with her for life. And you know how that can be and hear every update and know that each other. Or if she turns around, she gives you attitude, then you know damn well you made the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you and I both know those scenarios. And there are nurses who I would not want to be my nurse.
100%. But they might be great for somebody else who wants that. I totally agree. And there are people that don't want the touchy-feely, lovey-dovey nurse because it's overwhelming for them. Right. And that's fine too, right? It can go either way. It doesn't have to be like, I hate what this nurse is doing. I want a different nurse. You just be like, it's just not it. Yeah. And like this, you're going to be with that person, depending on your birth, like for 8-12 hours. Like that can wear on you when you're already being worn on by having a baby.
And I tell them too, that as labor nurses, this is not our birth. We're going to go home. This is a job. And if it's affecting them because it's their birth, they need to switch it up.
Yep.
But
agreed.
We're going to go home. If we didn't connect and it wasn't a good balance, we're going to go home. It was a shift. We were working. But for them, it's life changing.
Yeah. And we know how important that is because you ask anybody who had a baby and they'll be like, if it's an amazing nurse, they'll remember their name. And if it's a garbage nurse or somebody that like just made the experience crappy, they'll always remember their name.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you have an impact. It can be one way or another way, but they'll remember your name if you really messed up.
I agree.
And a lot of people say, I wish I had asked for another nurse.
I think that what's so mind-boggling to me is how many don't know that they can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true. Yeah.
Like when we're in open enrollment right now, we do what we call 5 days to fearless birth experience. And we open up the doors to our community and I teach 5 workshops. We let them into like our hangouts and stuff. And I always think like this class, there's this one class I teach and I'm like, it's so powerful. And then always the feedback is, oh, I didn't know I could fire my nurse. And I'm like,
what?
That is the big thing.
You're like,
it's so funny, but they don't realize that and they don't know they can fire their doctor. And I'm like, yeah, if you're in the hospital having a baby and you fire your doctor, like they're fired and we have to have someone deliver your baby. So you will have a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not going to be left like, oh no, I have no doctor now. But so I do agree that communication on both sides. And I really think that for the nurses' side, hospitals need to take this more important because if they don't, we're going into a place where people are educated.
Yep. Yep.
And they will attack them online.
I hope I don't know how long it's going to take, but I hope we see a big culture change because what is happening right now is not, it's not good for women, people. It's not good. Yeah. So I really hope that it changes because I would love to see that stat come down. I know that we're never going to solve all birth trauma. We can never do that. There will always be people that have a poor outcome or a bad experience, but 50%?
Yeah.
Could we have just taken 5 seconds, 10 seconds? I think about my sister. She told me about her C-section. This is before I was a labor and delivery nurse. And she said it was an emergency C-section. I was laying in the operating room. Nobody was telling me anything. My husband was outside.
And they're butt naked with the lights of God shining on them.
You're laying there.
Yeah.
Naked, right? Yeah. We don't know what's happening. And they're like, move over in the bed, And she's like, I didn't know my baby was alive, dead. No one told me anything. And I think about that every time I go into an emergency C-section because I'm like, how traumatizing was that? And then she, of course, had a repeat C-section leading up to it was anxious as all heck because she was like, I don't want to go through that again. And she's like, well, that was a lovely experience because it was like this scheduled, lovely, planned thing. But I think about her because she said, had no idea what was happening. And she said to me, these people see this and do this every single day. I had never been in an operating room. I had never had a baby. I had never had a surgery. And
never been
a
patient.
Right? I didn't know my baby was alive or dead.
Just being a patient is a culture shock.
So if we can remember things like that as healthcare providers, it's like this is, and it goes with vaginal births as well. This is, I see this every day. I still get excited. Sometimes I like forget to push medications at the right time because I'm like, oh, look at you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't push that. Could I do it now? Okay, good.
Yeah.
they're like, it's fine. Stick it. It's fine. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, like we see it all the time for that person and their partner. That's maybe the first time. Maybe that's the first time the partner's ever seen a childbirth, you know, other than the 1980s terrible videos that are out there. And it's your first time having a baby. We need to remember those things. And the fact that how we act and portray ourselves and communicate plays a big role in how that person moves on with their life from that moment. It's like a fork in the road. Like they can either have a great experience, even if it ends up in a C-section, even if it ends up under general anesthetic, whatever, it could still be a positive experience if you foster that in the right way, I think.
I know. Anyway. I 100% am believing and remembering that even though this is our shift at work and it is our work, that it is a birth experience, no matter which type of birth it is. And it's the only one they get with that baby.
Yes. And I always tell them, like, take this picture, take this video, because like you'll never, this baby will never be in your tummy again. This baby will, it's.
And yeah. And I've learned so much again from spending so much time with them outside of the labor room. And one of my VBAC students who did not get her VBAC, she was one of my beta students and she's my OG. I always laugh and she's pregnant again, third baby. She's back with me. She's been hanging out with me. My VBAC hangout since November of 2020. And one of the things that was so pivotal for her to heal with her repeat C-section, because she wanted that VBAC so bad.
Yes.
But she ended up making the decision and went back for a repeat. And the nurse took a picture of the baby coming out of her stomach.
Oh, wow.
And for Gina, that was the first time she was able to say, I birthed that baby.
Yes.
And so we added that into, I have a module in Calm Labor and in the VBAC lab about C-sections. And we added that into the choices of asking someone so that their mind can connect that they birthed this baby because it's so sterile and scary.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sure did birth that baby.
Yeah.
So, and good for them.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that we've added into there to ask for. And it has been life-changing for some of these women, especially my mamas who are having a repeat, like your sister.
Yeah. And I bet they'll cherish that photo. Yeah. Forever. Right. It'll be probably their favorite picture of their baby ever taken.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And
it's amazing.
Brings closure and where, because they struggle with this feeling of my body doesn't work right.
Failed.
Yeah.
I failed. Moms say that. And I'm like, don't say that. Yeah. Oh my God. You didn't. Yeah. Oh yeah. I feel terrible when people say that.
I know you have to get to your baby soon.
I do. I have one baby that he's picking up at the preschool.
And that's important because that's a different type of trauma. Because my mother left me at school once. And I still remember how
felt. I remember this forever. I have loved talking to you. Anytime you want to talk birth trauma, I can just talk about it.
Oh my gosh.
Birth trauma and inequalities in women's health. Those are two things that I could talk about hours on.
And it's so funny. Maybe we are sisters. That's why we look like, because our mission statement is changing the birth culture one birth at a time.
Oh my God. And it feels like a long road. Yeah.
Yeah. But it really is that one birth.
It has to be one birth at a time. That's the only way it's going to happen. Because we think about how far we've come and how far we have to go. But like you think about how we've come from twilight births to where we are now.
I'll be honest, since 2019, when I started teaching online, we've come a long way. We really have. Because those girls that came to me literally knew nothing about being knowledgeable or empowered. And I'm definitely getting more that are realizing, like, it was such a battle to convince them, like, you have to take a class. You have to go in educated and empowered.
This class was so important.
Yeah.
So important.
But it was such a battle because they didn't think that they needed it because they didn't see there was a problem. But at least the girls now, I feel like, see there's something. I need something. Yes.
Yeah. Because preparation is, I think, a big chunk of the battle. And I just give you that confidence to be a contributor to your own birth experience, right? Like, it's yours. Take it. Take it and run with it.
What's so funny too, really quick before we get off, is that I remember even in nursing school, which, you know, they teach.
So long ago.
Yeah. They teach you a long time ago. They teach you to avoid lawsuits or whatever is to connect and communicate, but yet they don't do that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And they teach you, this is how you chart to avoid a lawsuit.
Yeah. This is how you treat someone as a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you do. Matters. Yeah.
I bet like you guys in the States probably talk more about lawsuits than we do in Canada. I think
maybe.
I feel like it's a big one. Yeah. There.
Yeah. We're very lawsuit happy here, but.
Yeah. I heard that labor and delivery is one of the highest.
In the ER. Sued. So you've been in both.
Yep.
Well, we're talking high emotions in both of them.
Yes. You could tell that I'm a type A adrenaline junkie based on my career choices.
What's so funny is when you were saying you were an ER nurse. So labor nurses typically feel the same way about the ER as ER feels about labor and delivery. I always laugh because when I would get called down to monitor a patient, I would literally look like I have a hazmat suit on because I do not want to get sick.
100%. And it is nasty. My husband's a physician in Emerge, and yeah, it's nasty.
I would be like, coming down.
Like on Monsters, Inc. with like just a big blow.
I'm here to check your baby.
Oh my God. I have to laugh though, because like at our site, it's if you're over 20 weeks, you go to labor and delivery. And if you're under 20 weeks, you're treated in Emerge. But it's like when I worked in emergency, I would always pull out the wheel like immediately. When's your last menstrual period? Wait, 20 plus one, you go upstairs. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, no, but I have to. And you're like, no, it's okay. You got to go upstairs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want your baby.
Yeah.
And if they come upstairs with a broken bone or a head injury, they're like, get out of here. Put that back downstairs. We don't want that up here. So it's the battle.
No, I had someone and come up from ER that had a wound dressing, and ER sent her up because she was like 28 and 5 or something. And it was a wound dressing that need to be.
You're like, this has nothing to do with her baby. This is no.
I was like, I don't do this.
You're like, no, this is not. Her baby doesn't need a wound dressing. Yeah. Baby is good. Listen. Okay. Baby is good. Down you go.
I was literally breaking out the old nursing books to like, cause I'm like, I don't know wound care anymore.
God. I know I had somebody on TPN the other, like on our antepartum unit. I was like, pardon me. It's been a real long time since I've done TPN. So anyway, nursing skills never go out of style. All right, Trish, I had a lovely time talking to you.
Me too. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes, so I'm across four platforms. So I'm on TikTok, Instagram, I'm on YouTube, and I'm on Facebook. YouTube is where I have a lot of long form videos on all sorts of things like flange sizing and increasing your milk supply and prenatal vitamins and eating and drinking in labor. Oh, we could talk about that all day. And then my other ones are the shorter videos. So TikTok and Instagram.
And it's Mama Nurse Tina, by the way, guys.
So it's Mama with one M, one A, and then an underscore, and then Nurse, and then underscore, and then Tina.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Go get your baby. Hey, mamas. I hope you enjoyed this episode where Tina and I broke down birth trauma and the fact that birth trauma is... it's just got so many different facets to it, and it just doesn't fit inside of one box, as does any birth, anything about birth or parenting or motherhood. So I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you learned some things. As always, write a review. Tell me what you thought. I'd love to hear from you. I really value your opinion. And of course, hit subscribe. I will see you again next Friday. Bye for now.